On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Thursday night. Well, at least on this side of the North American continent it is. Good evening, good afternoon. And awfully glad to have you on board for this latest edition of Head On. Now, I'm Bob, okay? And you can be forgiven if you for having a hard time getting away from the Dick Cheney thing. I am going to do my dead level best to get away from the Dick Cheney thing tonight. I don't know. We may wind up playing music. It's gets right there in the frontal cortex of your brain, and
there's so many more things.
But there are so many more things, yes, dear. There absolutely are. Oh, let's see. What are some of those things? We haven't given full force and effect to the whole Abu Ghraib photo thing yet. And I had several requests for the location that I mentioned last night. comearmageddon.blogspot.com. comearmageddon.blogspot.com. And you'll see some of those Abu Ghraib photographs, although not all of them. There are other places. There's another one that is available. It was taken off the main page at canoffun.com because of objections. And frankly, I don't understand that. We need to see these pictures. Have a cold, hard look at what was done in your name, in our name, in your little innocent children's name. Have a look at what the Bush administration does to human beings that it thinks are less than worthy of humane treatment. Have a look. Have a look. And having had a look, let me know what you think. What is there to say about these things? Well, you know, and of course the administration says that, you know, those things were done by a few bad apples. But as I noted, I got a video from our friend Rick in Panama City, Florida, the other night, called America's Brutal Prisons. And when you've seen some of the things that go on in the American prison systems, and, you know, it's uniform. It's not just a couple of bad apple states. It's not just Florida, not just Arizona, not just California. It's all over the nation. It is a function of what I call our punishment fetish. We have, because it is very, very profitable, we have a truly dangerous sadistic element in institutionalized within this country. So when you look at these Abu Ghraib photos and you ask yourself questions like, gee, these things have been out there since 2003, why in God's name couldn't we see them before the 2004 elections? You know, it's a question worth asking. You know, were we too delicate? Or was it just pure politics? Were we not allowed to see these photographs because to see them might create some sort of a backlash in this country to understand that we are dealing with a bunch of murderous, careless, heartless, heinous, thugs in our government? And speaking of thugs, what went down in the Senate today? What was it, 96-3 to extend the Patriot Act? 96-3. You want to know who the three were? I'll tell you who the three were. Russ Feingold, Jim Jeffords, and, oh my God, Robert Byrd. Now, yeah, kudos to those three brave individuals. I still have real reservations about Senator Byrd. You know, I got a form letter yesterday. Dear Mr. Kincaid, thank you for contacting my office with your views on Judge Alito. I read it, and it was, you know, the same old crap. But what made it funny was when our one of our listeners, Scotty, another West Virginian, emailed me, and lo and behold, he got the same letter. I mean, why are we surprised? I mean, dear, your name here. Thank you for your, thank you for sharing your opinion regarding Judge Alito. But at any rate, it was Jeffords, it was Byrd, and it was Feingold who stood up and said, "Nah, we got it. This should be stopped." Now, of the 96, by definition, who does that have to include? Joe Lieberman, of course. But it also includes Bill Frist, of course, Mitch McConnell, of course, Jeff Sessions, of course. You know, the usual suspects. But within that 96, come on, who else? Jay Rockefeller, yeah. Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, Ted Kennedy, John Kerry. Oh, no. Can you imagine that? John Kerry was out there voting alongside of Rick, let's go play with a dead fetus Santorum. Voting right alongside Sam Crazier and a sprayed roach Brownback and Pat Roberts and John Cornyn and Kay Bailey Hutchinson. You get the idea, right? That's our beagle. It was pretty warm here in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia today, and it's going to be even more so now that I've had to close the head-on radio network color weather window. Aw, shut up, puppy. Please. Not during the radio show. I apologize in advance for beagle barking tonight. The beagle is just as upset about things in this country as, by God, we are. But I need some help understanding 96-3 on the extension of the Patriot Act. I really do. I need some help with that. 96-3. Damn, you know? Where were our liberal senators, or are they just, is that just all a bunch of hooey? Chuck Schumer? Hillary Clinton? Hillary, honey, how could you do that to us? Barbara Boxer? You know, there's a gang of people that I expect to go, yes, Master Bush, we must extend your Patriot Act, yes. I expect that from Kay Bailey Hutchinson. I expect it from John Cornyn. I expect it from Brownback and Roberts. I expect it from Charles Grassley. Hell, I expect it from Arlen Specter. I don't expect it from Ted Kennedy. I don't expect it from John Kerry. Maybe I should. The Republican leadership of the Senate is collapsing. It's imploding upon itself. And 96 senators go, yes, Bill Frist, we will do your bidding. Jesus. What is a liberal, what is a progressive supposed to think about that? I'm not asking. This is not rhetorical. I want to know. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you want to let us in on your idea of why that happened, you're welcome to 877-443-2366. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council. Ding.
You're standing on the bridge, I'm waiting in the dark. I thought that you'd be here, by now. There's nothing but the rain, no footsteps on the ground. I'm listening, but there's no sound. Isn't anyone trying to find me? Won't somebody come take me home? It's that
So this is the, you know, this is the front end of the discussion. Whether it's the Abu Ghraib photos or, and we know how that happened. I mean, that stuff, that crap comes from the top down. But this lay down and die reauthorization of the Patriot Act today? My God. 96-3? Yeah, I know, it was a re-extension. But somewhere along the way comes an opportunity to stop this foolishness, and we couldn't even muster a protest vote on it? Oh, I forgot. It's an election year, and Democrats are scared stiff to be patriots. Yeah, brother. Let's go to the phones. David is with us from Maine. First-time caller, I trust?
Yes, Maine.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
No problem. You wanted to know why these people voted that way, right?
Yeah.
I think it has to do with a simple thing about adaptability. I think we as humans, as species, we think that we're so much better than animals, and we don't have a dark nature or to eat our own, as they say.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's happening. We're becoming different. We're evolving into different species. You choose a dark side. You choose a side that's kind of bipolar. That's what I think is basically happens through our society.
And it's like a psychosis, in other words.
Right, it's like a psychosis, but I would put it to somebody like, well, why is it that we feel so strongly about us, and when we look at like animals in the kingdoms, we're not like scolding hyenas for attacking wounded antelopes, because that's nature. In their mind, they see it as nature to attack the weak.
And call it survival of the fittest and...
Something like that, or they're just paranoid, because once you cross that line, Bob, there's no turning back, because if you turn back, the others will get you.
Well, it's like cannibalism. You know, once you've done it, doesn't matter if you never do it again. You've been a cannibal.
Right. This is why I don't blame people like John Kerry and Barbara Boxer, because the problem is they're in that pack of wolves, and those consultants are telling them things, and they're probably telling them a bunch of lies, and it's like a giant sound machine. And it's just looped in their head over and over again.
Well, you know, that's fascinating you would bring that up, because I've got this book here that I've been reading for, you know, just sort of idly reading when I get a chance. It's called Get This Party Started, How Progressives Can Fight Back and Win. And there is an entire chapter dedicated to the idea that Democrats should stop hiring the self-same consultants that you just mentioned, David.
I agree with you completely. And you know something that I'd like to mention about that I think we really need to start talking about pretty soon if we're going to worry about the concentration camps and all of that, because we're getting close to Alex Jones territory.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's stuff coming out in mainstream press now, David, that makes me feel like I should have read it on Rents.com or something. And I'm not gooning on these guys, but, they've been the fringe for a long time, and now suddenly, maybe not so much.
And you know another thing that's interesting is I remember reading to my dad, who was in the Marines, and he was in Vietnam War. I remember him reading to him parts of Behold the Pale Horse, and he's like, that's a bunch of conspiracy crap. And look at now, and these are silent weapons for quiet wars time right now.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. I mean, when you can take a look at what happened on 9/11 and you've got the historical perspective to go back and see something like Operation Northwoods, you know, when the CIA came to Kennedy and said, you know, we really want to get the Cubans, so what do you say we bomb Philly? Blame it on the Cubans.
You know, but I have hope in some parts of humanity, and I don't have hope in others. I keep telling my dad, I say, you know, Dad, I think we ought to start picking out our Mad Max dune buggy with a specialized gun turret, because it's going around the corner.
I know.
I just wanted to say that I think another part of the thing is the silent weapons is just continue to fuel you with negative media. And what I mean by negative media is nobody will pick up on really good media stories and do like a round of good news because they think people don't want to hear it or it's just pressed in their heads. Well, it's all in how you spin the good news. And to me, like for some reason, this country, the Western world, all this news and science coming out, we just kind of just like, I don't know, we just toss it to the side and say, that's not important. I think we're going through a cycle, Bob, and I think we're going to have to go through that dark tunnel.
Yeah.
And here's something that gives me hope, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to this. Do you know about the eco-village movement on in Ithaca, New York?
No, not really.
There's an actual village community that they built, and it's about 6 years running right now. And they actually have a community. I'll have to send you the website. But
please do.
What is that?
Please do.
Yeah, I'll send you the website. But the thing that's interesting is it's the only eco community in the United States. And I think one of the reasons why we're having such a problem with this, with such a problem with the government and such a problem with politicians and everything like that, is because we think it's the way it is. Well, pretty soon we need to realize that we need to stop saying that because we get fixed into an endless cycle. To me,
I know what you're talking about there. I saw a commentary on peak oil that was sent to me by a listener today, and the guy said, you know, I'm no longer a prophet. I am a historian now because we passed peak oil on December 16th, 2005, and he went on to say the Stone Age happens in 2025.
Oh, my thing is this, is that people have to realize this, that there's going to be a lot of suffering and a lot of bloodletting, but we're going to need to cut ourselves from this massive grid because this massive grid is just like we're just going into the buzzsaw, just believing what they tell us.
Yeah, and you've got to step. I keep using that term, that phrase, David, ghetto. We have got to get out of the ghetto mindset. And when I say it, I'm not talking about Harlem. I'm talking about the ghettos of Poland and Czechoslovakia, where you take people of one mindset or one lifestyle or religious belief, and you put them in one place where they're easily gotten at. That's the ghettoizing that's taken place today.
I completely agree with you. I think that the whole problem with America and this country is that we're feeding our kids the Western world, and we're giving them so much privileges. They think they're entitled to it, Bob.
Yeah, they do.
They think they're entitled to it. I remember when I was living in the so-called Atari age when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think of it in video games terms.
No, I understand that completely because
the Atari age.
I remember Pong, man.
Right, the Atari. Then you had the Nintendo age. And then you had the computer age when you had Wolfenstein. But see, this is something interesting. Wolfenstein was enough because that was like you were shooting the Germans, and then all of a sudden they upgraded it, and all of a sudden it became Doom. And I don't know if you know this, Bob, but Doom, the game Doom, was just a bunch of like. You would kill a bunch of monsters and demons and whatnot.
But I played it.
Yeah, but what was funny was that was the inspiration for Columbine.
Well, and not just that. Here's another little known Doom fact. Do you know that the Marine Corps took it and put a layer on top of it and turned it into a Marine Corps thingy at one point?
We're looking at the silent weapons thing coming at us full throttle. Well, think William Cooper. I don't want to start conspiracies or anything. But I think people should pay attention to William Cooper in the days what he was talking about then, and maybe you should put the link to the Silent Weapon for Wars document on your front page.
Okay.
So people can I don't know if you know it, but I'll just send you a link real quickly.
Please do.
But I think it's important to look at that because what he was saying in the 90s, people were tossing off as, why do you want to spread this crap? And basically what he was saying was the whole thing, the flood of media, the diversions that we were going to be faced. We're going to come at us, pardon the pun, head on.
Right in the headlights.
Right in the headlights. And we couldn't do anything about it until we can't do anything about it until we study it completely. We have to strip it layer by layer. And I really do believe that as a society, we are going to need to give up so many privileges and so many things that we think we're entitled to. And maybe we need to start working on our own spiritual mandalas, like Buddhas and the prayer wheel. If that's what it takes to build a better society, then maybe that's what we have to start doing.
Yes, well, step out of the. Well, I mean, here's another reference. Step out of the matrix.
Yeah, step out of the matrix. We've become so westernized. It's almost like a sense of. It's like we don't realize the conditions that we're given, basically. The gifts that we're given, we don't realize the conditions that came with it.
Well, you know, my wife and I, our kids, David, are, they range from 8 years old to 18. And I grew, you know, when I was born, there was a TV in the house, but it was a black and white TV. You know, I tell them black and white TV, and there's Dad, tell us some more of those myths from the old black and white TV. He's crazy. You know,
I worked in reverse from a lot of kids, like, because since I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, I was a privileged kid. Speaking of, I got what I wanted, the video games,
yeah,
everything. But then I started to realize in the 90s when I went to school and whatnot, I started realizing what I was become. I was thinking, oh man, wouldn't it be cool to be a corporate writer?
I realized
head was thinking. I didn't understand what that meant.
You know, when you hear, and people don't put this in context, and I'm so glad you brought this up, David. People don't think when you hear a news story that says a CIA drone fired a hellfire missile into a Pakistani village and killed 17 peasants. You know, they just take it for face value. But if you step back one layer from that, David, you've got a little dude with a joystick somewhere in a bunker playing a video game, shooting peasants and it's all just happening on a TV screen.
That about sums it up. And then I realized when I was thinking like that, I had to reverse myself. So basically, when I started living on my own and everything, I kind of just like took everything away that I was given as a kid. Well, I have a computer and I have like. A video game, but it's like, you know, a portable one or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I'm basically taking myself, and I've taken my spending money, and it's like I'm going in reverse of where everybody's going.
Well, but
because I already lived that life.
Well, maybe everybody else is going backwards and you're going forward.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's all about the paradigm. David, we've got to roll on. I hope we'll hear from you again, though.
You probably will, man.
All right, take care.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
And a quick break. We'll come back and more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366 is the number. I always kind of wondered about those video games. I remember playing Defender. Remember Defender, if you're my age? And the people who were really good at it? They're shooting Hellfire missiles now. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Lots of experts talk about the ways that schools should inspire students to be creative. How you doing? I'm John Prime. They say that helping young minds tap their creativity is just as important as mastering math or their English skills. And of course, all parents love to experience the joy of seeing and hearing something their child has created. Well, one of the best places creativity is actively encouraged is in music class. There you'll find kids working out a phrase in a choir part, learning technical stuff such as fingerings on an instrument, or even composing and arranging music on computers. Music classrooms are bursting with creative energy, just waiting to be explored by young minds. So don't let it go to waste. Support your school music program. Thank you.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and when we do, it can be very hard for us to talk about it and get support, because nobody expects a man to have breast cancer. But I know one place to get reliable, timely information about breast cancer. Breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet that translates all those big medical words your doctor uses into plain English. It helps you understand what kind of cancer you have and what treatments are out there. It helps you get your head together and make a list of questions for your next doctor's visit. And it gives you all kinds of other good information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Close your eyes. You can't run away. You can't hide. We have to deal with things as they are. We have to deal with an America that, in our name, you know, kills babies. And it makes it tough sometimes. Tough? Tough? What kind of language is tough? It makes it horrifying sometimes. It makes it like a nightmare you can't wake up from. But we're trying to do that together. One night at a time, 3 hours, you know, 3 hours at a pop. And, you know, God knows I'm grateful to have you guys. Let's go to the phones. CB is with us from California. Hey, CB, you're head on.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
You know, another night.
Well, boy, past few nights and days, I've been boning up on my internet movie. I've been watching, I watched the first version of Loose Change over again, and the second version of Loose Change over again, and I downloaded the whole new Abu Ghraib torture video from Australia and watched that. It's, if you download it, you can mess with the brightness and contrast and actually see those pictures and what has happened a lot better. It is beyond horrifying.
Well, I mean, BartCop.com had the picture of the guy with the red dots on his back, the blood spot.
That's the least of them.
Oh, I know. But you know what? I'm guessing. You know what those things are?
What?
Those are drill holes.
Oh, God! You're right.
I mean, it's already been documented that these people were tortured with drills.
No, you're right. You're right. I was still tuned into the Cheney thing, I guess. I thought somebody shot him in the butt with a shotgun, but they seem to be fixated on that part of the anatomy there too.
Yeah, they are. Well, to say that they're sexually hung up is the understatement of a lifetime, CB. I mean, these are people that would make the Marquis de Sade blush.
Just horrifying.
I mean, as an American, Agnes and I looked at them together, and we're both, you know, and the tears and the, you know.
Yeah.
Those are human beings, damn it. You know, and I know Rush Limbaugh and that crowd's going to say that, well, you know, they're evil terrorists, they're evildoers, they mean us no good. I don't know that. I've seen no proof. My government has put forward no proof that they're people who have ever done it, lifted a finger against the United States. And you know, the nature of our very nation, CB, is such that we require proof under law. And this is such a lawless gang that, you know, they don't need no stinking badges.
Which brings me to my answer to your question about the vote today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, or whenever it was. after having watched Loose Change, after having watched the torture video, these people, our senators and congresspersons, I think maybe they know what happened and what's happening. I think it could even be that, you know, I was going to say, you know, they've been wiretapped and they're being blackmailed. But no, they're probably being blackmailed that something awful, the next awful, quote, terrorist attack is going to happen in their district.
Oh.
I'm sorry. There is absolutely no respect for humanity left in the entire administration. I have for years been saying, you got to vote Democrat, you know, even if I don't agree with some of the Democrats stuff.
No,
but you got to, because they're just simply because they're nicer to people than Republicans are.
Well, and the alternative, you know, I've been taken to task, CB, for saying things like, you know, the Democrats aren't as evil. Okay, as the Republican Party.
Right.
You know, we've got our evil problems. We've got Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I it's easy to look back, and I forget who I was talking to about this, but it's easy to look back to Al Gore and say, you know, God, if only Al Gore had been president, we wouldn't be fighting in Iraq. We wouldn't, 9/11 probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? Joe Lieberman is the biggest racist in the Senate.
No, I know. That's the...
You know, he gets off on killing Arabs.
He had everybody fooled back in 2000. And the only reason I can think is because he was so damn tickled to be picked as a running mate. You know, he was sort of like the first Bush, you know. The first Bush, when he got elected, for weeks he looked like he was underwater drowning with just like, oh, my God, I'm president. I can't believe it kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
He was so humbled by that.
But, see, I didn't buy most of it because I was able to recall his holier-than-thou approach to Bill Clinton.
See, I'd never even heard of him before, so...
Well, he stood up in the Senate, and he was appalled that Bill Clinton had a sex organ. You know, I mean, it was disgusting.
Yeah, see, I mean,
he had that whole Quisling thing going all along, and I looked at a buddy of mine the day that Lieberman was nominated, and I said, we're done.
Yeah.
Because... When you nominate Lieberman, and I'm not trying to be racist or any anti anything about it, but you know, real politic is real politic, and you concede the redneck bigoted South when you nominate Joe Lieberman as your running mate.
Yeah.
And I refuse. I don't think America, or I don't think democracy or the republic or anything like that has a prayer as long as we're conceding, my God, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Kansas. You can't concede that part of America and hope to keep America on track or even together.
You're starting to sound like Howard Dean. Only better.
I share that opinion with Howard. I sat there and I watched John. If you're a Democrat, I mean, CB, if you're a Democrat and you live in Selma, Alabama, or Jackson, Mississippi, or Shreveport, Louisiana,
you're worrying for your safety.
Well, yeah, but it's a presidential election year, and your party's presidential nominee won't even acknowledge your existence, won't even come to Alabama, won't come to Mississippi, won't come to Louisiana.
Yeah.
What does
because
that say?
They know months in advance where it's all going to come down to. That's where they concentrate their efforts, and that's where they know where to rig the vote. You know, that's it.
And they played right into their hands, CB.
Absolutely.
Because, they Florida was the battleground in 2000. And how early on? I mean, you remember 2004. I remember 2004. How early on did the memos start going out that Ohio was going to be the battleground?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, we played right into their hands.
Yep.
I mean, frankly, I think the Democratic Party let the Republican National Committee nominate John Kerry.
Yep. I believe that, too. And now, after looking at all this stuff carefully over and over again, make sure I've got it in my pin head, and feeling like the Democrats probably are being blackmailed in some ways. At the very least, it's the tacit thing that we talked about a few conversations ago, where they don't realize it up front, but subconsciously they believe that the administration did this to us, and so they're afraid. So now, I think I'm going to rip up my Democratic thing, that, you know, and call up Howard Dean and everybody I can that I admire and say, please, let's turn the Liberty Coalition into a party.
But CB, that's something to fight for 100 years from now, but it ain't going to make a tinker's damn worth of difference in 2008.
Well, I've been saying that for years, but, you know, I can't.
But it remains true. But the thing is, this is what happened in the South, CB. If you exit the field, if you concede the field to the other side and say that, you know, the Democratic Party is no longer worth saving.
Yeah.
You get Republican presidents until you're dead.
Yeah, well, probably after a little bit of my initial shock has worn off, I'll go back to my old. All right, I won't rip up my party membership immediately. I'll get.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, I know what you're saying, but.
I mean, we.
I'm beginning to wonder if it matters anymore. I mean, I keep seeing pictures of Hillary Clinton grinning with Republicans, you know, with the president and the.
I know, and Joe Lieberman Valentine's dinner with
And Condi Rice with a huge grin on her face at the Clinton Global Initiative thing, you know. And I mean, I love the bipartisanship of it and stuff, but it just creeps me out that so many of these Democrats are not a one of them should have voted for the Patriot Act renewal.
No.
I mean, they pushed it back. We all got excited. It's like it's a game. Okay, we'll let you guys seem like you're really fighting for your constituency, like on the filibuster of Alito. You know, some of you can go out there and really, you know, stand up and make it look close like you've been listening to your constituencies. But ultimately, it's got to be this way or, you know, Cincinnati gets nuked. Yeah,
I know, but again, if we're going to be committed to the progressive cause and the liberal cause, all we can do is redouble our efforts. We can't give up.
I'm not suggesting we give up, but I'm back to trying to get outside the box again. We've got to be calling to our representatives or the big names in the Democratic politics. Hordes of us have to go and nail them down and say, answer this. We have to get the truth out of them. No more namby-pamby, you know. And maybe a lot of the reason we feel they're so namby-pamby is because they don't get media coverage. But so fine, let's go to their offices and make them answer us. This is just appalling.
It is. It's horrifying. I mean, that I keep writing the emails, I keep writing the letters, I keep making the phone calls. And right now it's what I can do, but you know, as we get closer to the election, I think a primary presents, and I talked about this with Senator Byrd, or in regard to Senator Byrd, a primary presents an excellent opportunity for the liberal community. You know, if you've got a Senator Byrd or a Congressman so-and-so that isn't doing what you want to do, we need to organize coalitions to not vote against, but not vote for. Let them see, because politicians do look at their primary numbers, even if they're unopposed. And if they see that empty space there in March or April or May or June, that means something to them come November. And let them know that you're organizing that empty space. This is... It's almost like a Zen way of approaching it. You know, it's not nonviolence, it's non-support, it's non-participation. You know, Robert Byrd isn't going to lose his primary, so he's not going to lose anything by not having my vote. But when those, if there are enough people to make that lesser vote number known, then maybe the man will come around in November and understand who he's got to talk to. You know, these so-called conservative Democrats, CB, they're not going to get out and pound the pavement. They're not the kind of people that ever did that in their entire lives. It's liberals. It's progressives. It's grassroots people who get out and knock on doors.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
And I know we have to do that. I know we have to do that. I'm trying to figure out how I can get all my neighbors to come in here and watch these videos on my computer so they know what's going on. But you're still talking about working within the system as it's been known up to date. And
that's only because I can't think of another system.
Well, I think I'm starting to get a little bit of a handle on another system, like instead of just taking the votes away from them in the primary and scaring them, is going into their offices and getting some real, you know, FaceTime with
them. Yeah, if you can get the FaceTime, more power to you. I mean, the local offices, even if you don't get to Congressman whomever himself, if you can go to the local office there and speak to your congressman's staff and say, look, I'm in earnest about this, and tell them what you want and tell them what you're willing to give them, but tell them that you're not going to take lip service anymore. Yeah, get into the office. You know, be polite, be nice, don't get arrested.
Well,
but, you know,
we've got to have answers to these questions. We're all groping around in the dark and watching our party just go on us, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm sick and tired of watching the Democratic Party operate from a position of fear.
And a big part of it is those, you know, those people that, consultants that they have. I heard one on the, Brad Friedman had one come on the air over the filibuster time to talk about why, you know, the senators weren't going to vote the way we wanted them to.
Yeah.
And weren't going to filibuster, you know, because they're all afraid of the masses of sheeple out there who think that, you know, Alito's qualified and no big problem, everything's cool, and what's your fuss about, and that's going to cost them. You know, that's what he's advising his senators. And on the one hand, I kind of want to believe that that's what the problem is, but I keep seeing stuff that is just, I mean, the torture video is irrefutable.
Yeah.
I mean, that is stuff, we're doing that.
Well, you know, it's, you know? Yeah, the torture video, CB, one of our friends, Sue, down on Big Coal River in West Virginia, sent me an email saying that on CNN today, she saw a major, a general, somebody like that, that said that those pictures weren't important because they happened, and this is a quote, years ago.
Like,
you know, that's like saying, well, you know, we don't have to worry about the anti-Semitism in the 21st century because Auschwitz was years ago. You know, just forget it. Don't worry about it. These people want us to forget that we are, you know, damn it, CB, we're paying for torture.
Yeah, and these guys have been told to do that kind of stuff too. I'm sorry, it isn't just that they're, you know, bored or resentful and sicko inside of themselves. It's coming from the top down. And the guys who got killed or most heinously maimed were the ones who were acting like men when they and their families were being nabbed by the invaders.
Yeah.
You know, you act like a man against these gun-toting Americans who've invaded your country, and this is what happens to you. You know,
I do.
Yeah. It's just, I guess I shouldn't describe it in gory detail on the air.
Well, no, I mean, as long as you're not using the real icky words we can't use, you know, you're doing, I mean, no, you can describe them.
All right. There was one picture that came right at the beginning of the video that confused me. It looked to me like there was a man with his severed arm next to him on the ground, but it was so fuzzy I couldn't tell. So I stopped the thing and, you know, fiddled with the color and clarity as best I could, and it was still hard. But it looks to me like now, like what looked like a bloody stump was his arms were locked behind him, and he's curled up on the floor, and his arms were just all bloody and stuff. Well, his genitals had been removed for him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that took a lot of work to actually see what that picture was saying.
Well,
I think that was the front view of the guy who later on in the video, you see a picture, also, once again, dark, that needs to be lightened up and stuff. But you see him on his stomach, and somebody is pointing a flashlight or something at the hole in the back of his head.
Ugh.
But you notice in this picture, his arms are still, you know, cuffed behind him. One of his hands is a bloody stump. His butt is bruised horrifically and abraded, and there are blood trickles going the length of his back, meaning he was strung up somewhere when he got shot in the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, and this is just him down on the ground.
I know, I mean, I've seen the video, too. I don't know how many people have, you know, the idea that, you know, we can't, I'm still not astonished, but ashamed of American media because, you know, we can't show that because the American Family Association might start making FCC complaints.
Everybody in this nation needs to see those pictures.
And then the
if it turns their stomach.
Yeah, and then the people who say that, and then the people who say, "Well, that's nothing more than a fraternity prank." Well, you know, then we know who the real enemy is.
Right. Right.
Well, it takes courage to watch this kind of stuff, CB.
Ugh.
And I'm so glad that you do. I hope others will, because
I'm making my mother do it.
Yeah, it's not, you know, this
is Rotary.
Yeah, this is not Wisteria Lane.
No.
You know,
the
nightmare is upon us.
It is unequivocally upon us, and that darling young man who called before me, you know, had mega points.
Mm-hmm.
He had lots of good points there, and it's true that unless we work very hard and by some miracle win, it is going to be the Stone Age again in another 15 years, if that. And I don't want to sound like I'm advocating violence or anything like that, but I do want to clear something up about Buddhism.
Okay.
Killing is a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
But killing in defense of life is not.
Right. Self-defense is almost universally
right. Self-defense, going and saving the women and children or the people being tortured for trying to defend their homes is not wrong.
No, it isn't. And so, you know, it's kind of hard. Well, now that's another 30 minutes worth. But CB, thank you so much. We've got to hit our break.
Okay, bye, Bob.
You have a great evening.
I'm going to try.
I know.
Well,
later.
Bye.
It makes your head hurt sometimes. Just and yeah, go watch the Australian media. Why are we not watching this on American media? Because a coward leader creates a coward nation, and our media is as cowardly as any other organization in this country. That's why. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Upon a fiery steed. Late at night, I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
It is indeed hour number two. And as far as what's out there, I mean, you got this business with Michael Chertoff, Skeletor, appearing before Congress today, and it was a joke. If I knew then what I know now about Mr. Brown's agenda, I would have done something different. Oh my God. Headline, Death Squad of Iraqi Cops Found, U.S. says. And subheadline that's not there, why would you be surprised when, you know, that Death Squad's, they have this way of popping up everywhere that John Negroponte goes. John Negroponte, Assistant Secretary of State for Central American Affairs, Death Squads. Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Death Squads. Thousands of dead, John Negroponte. John Negroponte goes to Iraq, Death Squads. And everybody, death squads, really? Why would there be death squads? Death squads follow John Negroponte like fleas follow dogs. Let's go to the phones. John is calling from San Francisco, first-time caller. Hey, John, you're head on.
Hey, how are you? It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
You know, I was saying previously that the Constitution does not allow us to go into a sovereign nation and remove either its king and or its government. It is illegal. And this keeps happening over and over. If we continue to allow this, not only would we be the most hated country in the world as we are already, but you never know what countries will sanction us, make it difficult for us to do business.
Well, that day's coming, John. And it's not that far down the road. George Bush, it's worth remembering. George Bush inherited a surplus. George Bush inherited a financially healthy United States of America, and he destroyed it in less than 3 years. And he has hung more bad paper over the Pacific Rim and over the European continent than he's run up more debt than every other president of the United States combined. I mean, that's a mind-boggling statistic.
It's really funny that people go, well, you know, these people were bad people and we removed them from office. If they were so bad, then why did they go to school? Why were they educated by us? Why did our government educate and fund them? If they were so bad, why did we give them anything?
Well, but they're only bad until once we decide they're bad. You know, our man in Panama was Manuel Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was our CIA cocaine connection. He was our fixer. He was the guy. He was our go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
Until George Bush the First decided that he was bad and that he needed a little bloodshed to prop up his ailing numbers. You know,
he just got dry at the well. I need some more blood in the well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that photograph of Donald Rumsfeld grinning like a fox eating stuff out of a wire brush and shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, that's no Photoshop job, John.
No, that's
the real deal. That's when Ronald Reagan sent him over there to say, well, tell him if he needs the poison gas to shoot at the Iranians that we'll send him all he needs.
Exactly. And so they knew their weapons of mass destruction because we gave them.
Yeah, they had the bill of lading.
And then when they used them all, we do not have weapons of mass destruction, we use them. Oh, well, should we give you some more?
Yeah, you know, you killed X, you want to go for 2X? You know, the first one's free, kid, the second one you got to pay for.
We're surrounded
by monsters, and yet we still have our 4th of July parades and talk about how we're the greatest nation on earth. You know, Earth is waiting for the United States to at least come back to that spot where we used to be, where we pretended we actually gave a damn about human beings and human rights.
My favorite is, if you don't love it, leave it.
Oh, God.
Well, you used to be able to leave this country and people would accept that. Now, if you leave this country, no one wants you.
Yeah, I mean, if you leave this country, you got to take with that T-shirt. Did you ever see this thing, John? There was a T-shirt that was for sale at one point, and in all of the official languages of the United Nations, it said, I apologize, the President of the United States is an idiot, and I didn't vote for him.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know anybody who did, but he still got into office.
Oh, I know some who did, and then they're very proud of what they did because, you know, America needs a secure future.
The guy downstairs voted for him, and he's still, well, there goes your constitutional rights, your right to bear arms. Oh, and get the camps open. And by the way, do you speak Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Nein Sprechen? No worry. Camps for you.
You're our boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the people, that's the thing, and I heard Mike Malloy reference this, and he's so correct. The people that think that George Bush is their friend, they get the ticket to the barbed wire too.
That's right. It's like thinking Adolf Hitler is going to be your friend. It's like thinking that the Führer cares about. He destroyed Germany in the time that he was in office. It got so bad that he was even sending children and old men to fight in the war.
Exactly.
You think he cared about those people? No, he did not.
Well, John, the current Pope, was one of those children who manned an anti-aircraft battery.
Thank you. How the hell did he become Pope? I don't know. How? How does this happen? Why is the world going to hell in a handbasket is what I want to know.
Well, I don't know. Some people would say it's Nostradamus. Other people would say that it's Revelations. You know, the Muslims say that the Mahdi is on his way back and it has to happen this way. I tend to say that these prophecies tend to be self-fulfilling because people are willing to believe in them, and then they turn around and they start trying to make them happen.
They want to make them happen. They do not want to see a world of peace and coexistence.
Well, you know, for God's sakes, Martin Marietta, whatever aircraft group doesn't want to see peace. Boeing doesn't want to see peace. General Electric, for God's sakes, doesn't want to see peace. Raytheon doesn't want to see peace. Peace is not good for their bottom line. Peace is dull. Peace is boring. You think AOL Time Warner wants to see peace?
No.
You know, they got to go back to actually reporting the news.
Mm-hmm. And you know, not even reporting it, but just kind of like telling the side of the story that.
Yeah, right. I mean, the number, if you sit down and you just start making a list of groups for whom peace is a bad thing, you'll run out of paper before you run out of names.
True.
And, I mean, and so therefore, you know, we look up and we ask, you know, why does it have to be this way? Well, you know, when you've got, well, the story I had last night about the drug, Avantis,
oh, yeah,
and Genentech and Roche Pharma,
yeah,
they thrive on sick people.
They do. And that's why marijuana is illegal, not because it's, you know, we can all debate about drugs, and I don't particularly like drugs, and I don't do them, but some drugs do have a purpose. But if you have a headache or a migraine headache and you smoke a joint instead of take a pill, who's going to lose out? If you're going to have back pains and you smoke a joint and don't take a pill, who's going to lose out?
Yeah, Big Pharma.
That's right. And he's like, we can't have that, you know, Billy Boy, Bushy Boy.
Well, yeah. You know, and I got a story somewhere down in the stack here, John, about how custom seizures of old people's medicine being shipped from Canada is on the rise.
Oh, yes.
It's
absolutely
statistically higher, you know, because, you know, we can't trust those Canadians to sell us clean drugs, even though they were manufactured in the United States and shipped to Canada in the first place. You know, somewhere along in there, they probably put some horse tranquilizer in it, and we don't need Granny walking around out on the streets going, look, all the walls are melting. Yeah, we can't have that.
Why should you survive off cheaper drugs?
My grandparents didn't have Social Security. What do we need? That's craziness.
Oh,
you know, and
what the heck am I paying for? What did they pay for then?
Well, George Bush was in Ohio yesterday. He went to Wendy's to talk about health care savings accounts.
Wendy's? Wendy's restaurant?
Yeah. Really?
He just walked into Wendy's. It sounds like he's like a moron. Just walked into Wendy's. I want to talk about.
That's about what? That's about the
American
size
people.
Of it. Yeah. I want to talk.
People are just drinking their coffee like, this is all I could afford this year. What do you want?
I want to give you a health care savings account.
I would, if I could afford this coffee, I would probably end up joining that health care savings account.
It was just crazy. It was mind-boggling. He's sitting there telling people, you know, you can put up to $3,500 a year in your health care savings account, and it's non-taxable. It comes out before taxes, so I'm giving you another tax cut. You know, and you say you do one of these things, John, and you have $3,500 a year after year after year after year, and you finally got $100,000. Well, good for you. You get to pay for one course of Avantis once the cancer comes on.
One course.
Yeah, and that doesn't cover the doctor bill. And they say this elitist crap, John. I heard it. We like to do it because it encourages people to make smarter healthcare decisions.
Come on.
No, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
You know,
people to make smarter healthcare decisions. Yeah, don't go to the doctor when you're sick. Wait till you're really, really sick.
Wait till you're on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Wait till there's nothing they can really do for you but give you a time limit.
Yeah, I'm right. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's inheritable, and we're gonna eliminate the death tax so that your children can inherit your health care savings account.
Well, that's good because everyone's gonna inherit 50 cents from everybody. The only people are going to drop dead from not having health care.
You know, but the American people go, health care savings account, that sounds pretty good. Mavis, you want a health care savings account? And, you know, no details, no backstory. Our dear leader went to Wendy's today, and he ordered double with cheese and no ketchup and no onions because he doesn't like to be, you know, with the onions when he's talking to Laura there. But he talked about health care savings account at the same time. He's a Christian man.
These people don't even know what Christianity is. They just say it. They just like to say it. It just sounds good.
I mean, it's amazing. I got a story here about some dude that's going around talking to, like, little first graders, telling them, who's the only one who's always been there? God, the boys and girls shouted. Who's the only one who knows everything? God. So who should you always trust, God or the scientist? The children answered with a thundering, God.
Who gave the scientist the knowledge or the capacity or capability to learn?
I know.
God. So, what's the problem?
Yeah, it just makes me crazy.
I just really hope that the American people, you know, I know a lot, everyone who's probably listening here understands and is aware and or awakening. Take the red pill. Because we're in a situation where we may lose all of our freedom.
Yeah.
People will say, you know, well, we don't need guns. I don't mind giving up. You don't mind giving up your right? Fine, give up your right, but don't take the right from the rest of the law-abiding American people.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with here. And you're right. The people who listen to this show do understand, John. You understand. Everybody who listens to this program, with the exception of the little weirdo right-wing lurkers, they all get it. Now, the question is, can we take it out into our neighborhoods?
Malcolm X said you cannot have a revolution without bloodshed, and some of us are afraid to bleed.
I know. I know. And
some people don't. I know a lot of people don't like him, and we're coming from different points of view.
Well, the picture of Malcolm X that we're given, John, and you know, this is coming from, you know, the whitest dude in America. I acknowledge at least that the picture that Malcolm X that is given to most of America is a very well-crafted picture,
mm-hmm.
And it is a picture that is created was created wholly to scare the living bejesus out of pasty-faced, doughy white people.
Exactly.
You know, you're never told the story about how Malcolm X went to Mecca and saw a whole bunch of white people walking around that rock too,
and understood, and came back and said, "I was wrong."
Yeah, came back a changed man, and then got dusted.
Now think about that. You have the Bush administration who commits all types of acts of treason, murder, everything, shoots his friend, almost murders him, tries not to report it to see if the guy lives. If he doesn't live, we'll put him in a hotel, make him like he shot himself, and won't come out and say, "I was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm a human being."
Well, yeah, that whole tortured exchange about, you know, this is the guy who pulled the trigger that shot the bullet that sent the pellets that's into the chest of the guy who lived in the house that Jack built. I mean...
I swear they're going to put him in a hotel like him, make him like a shot himself.
Yeah, in Arkansas, the same place they put the dude that wrote that wrote the book about Bush.
What is the name of that book, please?
Fortunate Son. Fortunate Son. Fortunate Thank Son is the name of that book, and it was written by a man named Hatfield.
And what about, you know, every time I turn around, someone supposedly shoots himself in the back of the head, throws himself into a dumpster, and sets it on fire.
Right. Well, you know, it's that thing out of To Kill a Mockingbird. Mr. Finch, I'm here to tell you that Bob Ewell fell on his knife 32 times.
132 times.
Yeah, exactly. God, you know, and we believe. Oh, yeah, he did that. He did that.
He was very persistent. He was truly persistent.
You know, left-handed people who shoot themselves in the right side of their head.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, with the left and kind of over the top of the head. And hey, John, great talking to you. I hope we'll hear from you again. And again, if you don't mind, tell your friends and neighbors about the show. I'd love to hear from them, too.
I always do, and thank you and your wife.
All right.
I really
thank
take
you.
Care.
Take care. Bye now. And let's see, Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, your head on.
2 seconds.
You can have three.
Okay, 3 seconds, then. If you want a hero, like at the beginning of the segment before, you've got some young ones coming on. That's wonderful. It's time to draft one, okay? You want a hero? Draft Paul Hackett. I mean, get in there and draft him. Forget the DLC and the DNC and the whole thing. Just get in there. Send him the money.
Okay, but Bob, wait a second. Wait a second. I got to ask you this question about Paul Hackett.
Yeah.
Why did he cede the field?
Why did he cede?
Yeah, why did he concede the field? Why did he quit? Why didn't he at least fight through to the primary?
Because he got hammered by the powerful, the rich, those guys that can frighten the living daylights out of you. If you had Walmart coming to your house to say, I'm going to put a Walmart here, they'll do it. They don't have to worry about your property rights.
But, I mean, Bob, Paul Hackett was already paid up. He was on the ballot. He is still on the ballot.
Well,
that's one of the little political secrets that nobody seems to be paying attention to out of this whole thing. Paul Hackett is still on the ballot. He can say, I'm withdrawing my candidacy, but I'm willing to bet you that it is too late in Ohio for his name to be removed from the ballot.
Good.
And it'll stay on the ballot. Now,
the people in Ohio or in his area vote for him. Forget about the other guy. Hey, just draft him. I mean, you're not asking him to run. You're not giving him money to run.
And he doesn't have to be drafted. He's just, there.
It's like saying, okay, you're being required to do a job. Okay? You threw your hat in your name in the hat and you got in the ring or whatever.
Yeah.
Just vote for him. Don't vote for the other guy. No matter how many millions or billions of dollars he puts on the TV.
People have that alternative. That's the point that I'm precisely trying to make, Bob, is that he was in the fight, and he turned around. He turned around and gave a sob story about how he was forced out of the race. You know, this isn't Eastern Reverses Stan.
You know,
they don't visit you in the middle of the night and say, you know, we're going to off your family if you don't get out of the race. He's in the race. He is in the race, Bob.
No, they don't.
He is in
how
the race.
How do you know they don't? Have you
because
ever...
they didn't. They didn't. They told me to run, and then they said they wanted the other guy to run. Hmm. This is sour grapes, Bob. I mean, you know.
He's got a mouthful of sour grapes, and he's a little bit fussy, and a little bit, you know. I mean, he's not your man, your common man in Washington. He's no Tom DeLay, and he's none of these. You know, he's none of those people, right?
That's my guess. I mean, you know, he doesn't sound like one.
No, he's not one of them, and he doesn't know their game, right? Okay.
Right.
So
what if they've raised you $6 to every dollar you raised? He's got $250,000. You put a new set of tires on the car. You make sure that you can buy gasoline, and you stump everywhere you can go. Ohio is not that huge a state.
Remember Jesse Ventura?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how he got elected?
Because the electorate of Minnesota didn't like either one of the other guys, and Jesse was a protest vote.
No, Jesse got elected because he was outside the ring, and he wasn't. He wasn't the famous wrestler, but the kids, the guys, the young guys, you're talking to him every night. I just heard some beautiful voices, young ones, and so, hey, that CB, I love her. Oh, God, she's got fire in her belly. Okay, the young ones jumped in, and they said, okay, we're going to do this thing. And they blew both parties away and put Jesse Ventura at the helm. And Jesse was no politician. He was an honest man. And he stirred things up a little bit in Minnesota, and finally he had a belly full of regular politics, and he just kind of, okay.
And walked away.
Right. But that was Jesse's weakness.
But my point with Paul Hackett, and I hope it can, you know, there's a lot of, there was commentary on Bart Kopp today talking about how dirty he got done. Yeah, he did. But you know what, Bob? Compared to what he got back from, the nastiness of American politics should be a day in the park.
No. Wrong. Everybody thinks you come back and all of a sudden you're supposed to assimilate back into the society. Now, Paul has his own... Okay, he has his own demons he's carrying with him. And, you know, the machine tried to paint him as a war criminal. But if you get right down to it, the real war criminals weren't the guys that went there. But everybody paints the guys that do the nasty deed that the other guys send them to do. The guys that are in Fallujah and murdering tens of thousands of people. And I'm sure it was that. And there are people that are in this Abu Ghraib and they're sticking drills into people's butts and causing them enormous pain to their physical being. They're not the guilty ones.
No, it's the people who told them it was okay to do that.
It's those that sent them, okay?
Sure.
And they're the guys that we want to throw Paul Hackett back in with, okay? But we want to put him in a position
maybe. I understand, Bob, but I got to keep coming back to my theme here. He's in the race. His name is not going to be removed from that ballot if my guess, and I'm only guessing, if my guess about Ohio law is a fact. Get, you know, put the tires on the car, put the gas in the tank, and go and do and apply that Marine spirit to this, you know, to this.
Maybe Paul should just do this, you know, kind of go home, spend a few months with his wife. You know, and his family kind of relax a little bit and wait for the people of Ohio to vote for him. And if they are really voting for him and they're not, you know, hey, if it's this diable thing and we're ripped off again, fine. But at least he's not busting his hump out there. Maybe we should draft him by voting for him, okay? Maybe the people of that state to show some backbone.
Well, you know, if he had, you know, everybody says that he had polling numbers that were better than Sherrod Brown or Mike DeWine.
I would love that.
That's what I've been told. I haven't seen him, Bob.
No, I would love that. You know why I'd love that? Because, okay, think about it. If Paul Hackett doesn't drop a dime, he doesn't talk about nobody, he doesn't do nothing, he just sits in his house, has a good vacation with his family, and the people of Ohio, not West Virginia or North Dakota.
Yeah, this is an Ohio issue. You and I can't do a blessed thing about it.
Absolutely. But the people of that state rise up and vote, I don't know, 99% for Paul Hackett. Who can stop him from taking the seat? I don't care.
Nobody can. If he wins, he'll get the seat. That's
absolutely. So why worry about it? I mean,
That's what I hate out of this, Bob. All this Sturm und Drang out of this. That Paul Hackett was driven from the race. You know, they were doing mean things to Paul Hackett. It's politics in America. And you know what? When Thomas Jefferson was running for president, they were saying he's got one of them black women on the side. It's not like dirty politics is anything new, Bob.
Absolutely not. But
it's hateful.
Jefferson actually had one of them black women on the side.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but not the way they painted it.
Well, hey, think about it. You know, if you ever went black, you'll never come back.
Bob.
Hey.
Good
God. Hey, that's one of my black girlfriends told me that. A long time ago.
Well, okay, but I mean, let's stay on point here. Let's stay with let's stay with Paul Hackett before, you know, I start getting the hate mail. Okay.
I'm fine.
I really don't like this Hackett controversy because something about it stinks.
Yeah, you know what stinks about
The political machinery stinks. If half of the things that he claims happened to him happened, that stinks. Okay, because we're not talking about a general election, Bob. We're talking about a primary.
How about, you know, most of your audience, they're astute. I've listened to them. They're just, they just turn damn tube off, okay?
Yeah. Well, that's a starter.
Shut the TV off, okay? The first thing you do, pick up a book and read a book, okay? And if you can, you know, it'll enthrall you. Most books, I've got stacks of them here. But I don't watch TV.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the old John Prine song, you know, throw out your TV.
It's kind of like that little tune that I can remember from the 50s when they first got them black. You were talking about black and white TVs?
Uh-huh.
Good God, we got the, you know, when they first came out, they had a tube about the size of, I don't know, a grapefruit, you know?
Yeah.
And that was leftovers from World War II, and I was one of the baby boomers, so I kind of, you know, we got our first TV, and it was black and white, and we had the Lone Ranger and all these, all kinds of strange. I mean, you know, and we had pop, pop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. You're talking jingoistic stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And last night you played one that it reminded me of drinking rum and Coca-Cola, and you're talking about, you know, here's Agnes out there. She's doing she's dancing.
She does
because
that.
It's jingoistic. See, you play it back, and they do it so well. They got this little, guns, gays, and what, grenades? You know?
Yeah, guns, gays, and grenades. I hadn't heard that before, but that's
guns,
very true.
Guns, gays, and grenades. First, they take guns away, and then they force a gay into your classroom, and then you throw a grenade in there to get rid of them. That's guns.
That's the way they'd like it.
Huh?
That's the way they'd like it. Hey, Bob, we got to get out of here, man.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
I missed what I wanted to say.
Doggone
it. You want a hero, you said it at the beginning, you want a hero, I'm looking for a hero at the end of the night, well, draft him. Drag him into the fight, and tell those people in Ohio, vote for Hackett. Whatever they throw out there.
Vote your conscience, for God's sakes.
Vote what you believe in. Don't vote what they tell you to believe in. You believe in.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Your values, not mine. Because my values, I'm sure that my values and Glenda's and Agnes's and yours are pretty close.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't know what your real true being is because I'm not Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, right, and I'm not you, but you're right. You know, go in there. It's you and your conscience in the voting booth. He's still on the ballot. If they want him, they can have him.
And if they don't count your vote, or they have some kind of a strange machine spitting back your ballot at you, demand. No, don't just ask for it. Oh, can I draw? Can I
demand?
Can I sign this other? I want my vote.
But we got to get out of here, Bob.
All right.
Later.
Good night.
Bye now. He is. I bet you. He'll be on the ballot. So a lot of this is manufactured, perhaps. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. There's been some talk today that Vice President Dick Cheney should step down, not so much because he shot an old man in the face, but because of how the whole situation was handled. if this happens, why this incident and not others should be the one to force out the most corrupt and secretive vice president we've ever had is just another example of what's wrong with this country. Because how this incident was handled was no different from how Mr. Cheney has handled pretty much everything since he took office. Try to keep it secret, then lie about it, then blame someone else, though not necessarily in that order. But we shouldn't stop with Mr. Cheney. We ought to demand the same thing of everyone in this administration, because the vice president's behavior isn't unique. They all do it, at every level. They're all corrupt, incompetent, and guilty of the same crimes. Democracy dies behind closed doors, so the saying goes, but this administration doesn't just close doors, they build walls. Walls that keep freedom out and keep the truth in. And any truth that manages to get out, like people looking to escape from East Germany, gets shot. Enough is enough. Mr. Bush, tear down this wall. We'll go easier on you, and history will be far kinder if you just admit how badly you screwed things up and let the grown-ups fix it. You can make it easier on all of us, or we can do it the hard way. The choice is entirely up to you. Remember, walls didn't protect Troy or Jericho or East Germany, and they won't save you. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
You say
hit the road, Jack, and don't you come.
20 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. If you want to get in on the fun, and this is getting pretty zany tonight, I got to admit. 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366 to share your thoughts. I'm not trying to be cranky about Paul Hackett. I liked a lot of what he said. But I smell a rat somewhere, okay? I mean, my little rat dar is going off. Am I to understand that this guy, a major in the United States Marine Corps, a public affairs officer in Iraq, goes over there, sees all that hell and all that horror, comes back, runs for Congress, would have won a seat in the House of Representatives were it not for filthy Diebold machines, then decides he's going to run for Senate, he's all primaried up, he's paid his fees, you know, you pays your money, you take your chances, you know, you get on the ride, you go. But now he's concerned that, you know, they're saying mean things? It's politics. They're going to say mean things. What would, you know, the stuff that Jefferson's followers said about John Adams couldn't be printed on a bathroom wall. And the same thing goes the other direction. The rotten crap that the conservatives and people who would later become Republicans said about Andrew Jackson's wife shouldn't be said about a dog. Politics is America's blood sport. It just is. You know, I wish it was nicer. I wish, you know, I wish the American people would sign a collective pledge that they will not vote for any candidate, Democrat or Republican, who goes negative first. But you know what? For all that polling, we hate them negative ads. That's what we pay attention to because, you know, we're that kind of people, I think. So, you know, okay, Paul Hackett's not going to run. He's just going to leave his name on the ballot. And you know what? He could win. You got to remember what happened to John Ashcroft. He got his ass handed to him by a dead dude. You know, you don't necessarily have to be out there on the hustings to win. And Paul Hackett could win that way. So, you know, it's more complex than it might appear. Tell you what, let's go to the phones. Rick has been waiting a long, long time. Let's get you out of the queue and onto the show. Hey, Rick, you're Head On. Agnes, dear, it works better when you push the little red button. Thank you.
Sorry, dear.
It's okay.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
It's a little crazy tonight, man.
Yeah, I know. I got a few things. I actually had to write them down because I wasn't able to get in. I was tied up, so I couldn't call. I was able to listen here and there in the last few days. But as far as for this Hackett thing, I remember you had a fella call up. It was either yesterday or the day before. And he had heard the interview on Randy Rhoads' show. Mm-hmm. I suggest that everybody go to White Rose, download that thing, and listen to it again.
Okay.
Because, I listened to it, and my take on it was the opposite of what the other fellow was portraying. And it was the fact that Randy tried to lead him down that road. He would not go down that road of the being an independent or the other choice, the Republican or what have you. And he openly admitted that he was a team player, and he explained exactly what happened and the reason why he bowed out of the race. Now, I agree with you, though, that this is the time to be weeding out. We've done, for too long, we've had people like Lieberman's in office. That the reason why we did that is because, well, anything's better than the alternative. That's never true when you have the Liebermans. And so I think that if they're not going to adhere to the democratic values that made this country what it is, if they're not going to do that, we don't need them. They're just dead weight. They're filling a spot that somebody that we do need can't get. And the dollars and the time is limited. So they're wasting it on people who, for one reason or the other, wants to mouth the principles or haven't got the stomach for it. I say bag them and tag them and move on, you know, regardless of who it is.
Yeah.
You know? So I would suggest that people give that another listen. Myself, I understand his position, but my position is see you later, guy. I need somebody with some, you know, that's got the stamina to do what I want them to do. And what I want them to do is to restore sanity to my nation.
Well, you know, one of the problems that I really hate that's arising out of this, Rick, is the pasting that Sherrod Brown has taken.
Right.
I saw him written up as, you know, an old school, machine Democrat, a bunch of stuff. Go look at this guy's voting record. I mean, apparently Paul Hackett is such a darling that we can't even be bothered to see whether or not Sherrod Brown might actually do a good job.
Well, I know, and I hate that when people start fixating on something.
Well, yeah, Rick, this guy's a progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, primary would have been a battle between two liberals.
And, I mean, I don't know that much about Ohio politics other than there's that crazy woman there in Congress. Is that who Hackett would have been running against?
Well, no, that's who he ran against the first time through, Mean Jean Schmidt.
Yeah, that's...
And she was only able to beat him through electronic voting skullduggery.
Oh, okay, so that's right. This time he was, what, going for senator, right?
Yeah, he hoped ultimately in the general election to be running against Mike DeWine.
Yeah, I mean, DeWine, what a... I mean, I've read the diaries of the chick in Washington, D.C. You ever read those? The one that used to work in his office who went from bed to bed of all of those, including DeWine?
Okay.
You never heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah, she worked in that office. She had affairs with DeWine and half the staff. I'll have to track it down. There was something about a year ago.
Well, I have no doubt that DeWine is a sleazebag. If you're a Republican and you're in Ohio, you're a sleazebag.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God, their governor has been convicted of a crime while in office. And, well, that's all right. I'll just stay right where I am.
Well, not only that, they just recently passed one of the most draconian law enforcement measures in the country, where you could be arrested for doing nothing, for being on the street.
Oh, I know. A meaner Patriot Act than anything on a federal level.
Yeah, I mean, I as well as several others, I know, we did everything we could to try to get them to see the light on that one, and there was just no talking to them. And so as far as Ohio goes, I put that in line with Oklahoma, Texas, and all of that. The sooner they succeed from the nation, the happier I'll be. You know, that's fine with me. But that's just one issue. Now, the other thing is that I'm the thing that's helped the Republicans the most is their use of language. We all know about Frank Luntz. We all know about Gingrich and all of that. And what they've managed to do is they've forced the Democratic leadership and all of the others to go along and use these nomenclatures and words that they have turned around and said is proper. And what I'd like everybody listening to do, as well as yourself, and I will as well, is to get a hold of Nancy Pelosi and read in the Senate and your representatives and your personal senators and tell them to stop using it. Case in point, the homeland. For Pete's sakes, I don't want to hear Democratic people using the homeland.
You know, it was good enough for Abraham Lincoln to get a bullet in the back of his head for. We can call it the Union.
Yeah, we can call it the Union, or I'd much prefer America. What can we do for America? What can we do for the United States, the people of the United States? You know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you could do for your country. I mean, that rang great. And to have people, and to have our leadership, the homeland. God, they sound like Nazi sympathizers.
Yeah, they do. I hate that.
Well, the only way they're going to stop is if we get busy and post it on COS and every place you go, post it, because they read it.
Yeah, a bumper sticker. I don't live in a homeland.
That's right. I live in America. America first, you know, not the homeland. I mean, if we don't start going back to the roots and use the
but Rick, I tell you, I gotta tell you, you know, you say you want to tell Pelosi, you want to tell Reid, you know, you want to tell your individual senators, your individual congressmen. I think that's great, but that's one of the fundamental problems of the Democratic Party. They're cowards.
Well, I agree. I mean, I can tell you an awful lot about how I feel about the terrible things that were done to poor people and African Americans in this country through the abuse of the Great Society, making up rules where the father had to leave the home to give aid to the family, you know, busting up families by doing things like that. They believed in, prisons were the answer for everything if you couldn't understand the university. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of problems with the Democratic Party, quite frankly, as I told you. I re-registered as an independent. But the fact is that I'm closer to the Democratic Party than I ever would be the Republican Party because I walked through that whole morass, and I know where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I've always believed personally that a Republican president and a Democratic Congress and Senate is a wonderful thing. Everybody gets a little. You know, I'm not against the thing.
Well, something like balance, of course. On the other hand, we had a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president in the form of Bill Clinton, and the best thing that the Democratic House could do was slip the shiv between his ribs.
Well,
I mean, you know, it wasn't a Republican minority that killed any sort of health care plan for America. That was largely killed by Democrats.
Well, sure it was, but I beg to differ with you. I personally think that Bill Clinton was one of the best, if not the best, Republican president there ever was.
No fight out of me.
You know, this guy, here's a guy that just completely ripped the American worker with free trade and NAFTA, GATT, and all that.
Well, and see, some of that is a little bit of hubris, I believe, Rick, because Bill Clinton thought that, you know, well, we'll take the House back, we'll take the Senate back, and then we'll fix the welfare reform that the Republicans shoved down my throat, and we'll fix free trade, we'll fix the stuff with China, and it never happened.
Well, I'm sorry, but see, there we go again. We're making excuses for these losers, and they don't do us any favors. They screw us, and then they tell us, well, we'll fix it later. That sounds like the current Republican administration. We robbed all the banks, but, well, it's too late now to do anything about it.
And we'll declare ourselves a unitary executive, and now bank robbing is legal. Have you caught that?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you catch that story today, Rick?
Sure I did.
Cheney now says that he has the power to declassify anything. Hell, next day after tomorrow, he's going to have X-ray vision.
You never know. I mean, it was a page right out of the Reagan handbook, for Pete's sake. I mean, excuse me. Man.
I can out Valerie Plame because I have the power to do that.
Yeah, we can rob.
Holy cow,
we can rob savings and loans because you're doing it with a pen and not a gun. You know, it's the same business all over again. So, I mean, as far as I don't want to rehash Clinton because I didn't vote for him and I never would. I would never vote for Hillary. And if anybody thinks that Hillary is going to be elected president in this country in 2008, you are literally throwing away your vote. It ain't going to happen because you'll never get the crossovers. You're not going to get the Republican lights, and you're not going to get hardly any independents.
Well, did you hear me complaining about conceding the entire South to the Republican Party?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's a Hillary nomination right there.
You're not kidding.
You know, I'm not. I don't dislike the woman. Okay, I don't hate her. I'm not anti-Hillary. I'm not out there shooting watermelons in my backyard. But just like nominating Joe Lieberman to be Vice President of the United States was a great big to the South. So
well,
too is a Hillary presidency.
Well, yeah, because everyone knew it. They just wouldn't say it. They're not going to elect a Jew. They won't do it. They're not. They haven't grown past that. I mean, they're like they're still on the level of the episode.
Yeah. Not only are they not going to elect one, they're going to make they're going to try their best to make him feel grateful for just not killing him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
one Ferengi. They're not going to elect.
Yeah. This is the South. I mean, you know, guys with the stars, the Confederate battle flag in the back of their truck.
I know, and I know.
I don't see why that's so hard to understand.
Because nobody wants to be a realist. Nobody wants to come out and say these terrible things for some reason it doesn't tickle the ears in a nice way. I mean, Americans are, you know, I don't know what it is. They like to, denial should be the credo of America. If you deny it, it isn't true. But I mean, people have to accept how they got to go about these things and be logical like you are and others are, and just start building a ticket that can win. Now, I personally think that Gore can win in 2008.
I think he could too. If Richard Nixon can go away for 10 years and come back and win, why can't Gore?
I think the world will be ready, and I mean the world will be ready for Gore in 2008 so badly it's not funny. And I would like him to choose as his running mate that fellow that just finished up being governor, what was it, Virginia?
Mark Warner?
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Warner looks good. He's not my first choice. I like Feingold best. Or what's his name? Is that Feingold.
Russ Feingold from
Wisconsin. Russ. I like him a lot. I like him a lot, but again, we're running into the same situation.
Yeah.
So I would definitely like him to pick up Warner and then just run and run a serious campaign, and he can save this nation. I know he can. Now, this is so crazy, because I would have never thought the world would be so bad that I would vote for Al Gore. Never. I mean, just because of some other personal things that I have, like I was talking to Agnes when I first called up about this, because I am a pro-life, not pro-birth. I'm a pro-life Democrat, which means that I don't think my responsibility for the child ends the minute it hits the gurney.
Yeah, right.
Like a Republican does. But at the same time, it's a matter where I don't feel it should be outlawed. I just don't want it to be, you know, a spur-of-the-moment birth control.
Well, I would kind of like to see it stop being the defining issue of the Democratic Party. And, boy, am I going to piss off a lot of people saying that.
Oh, yes. I mean, there is two handicaps that the Democratic Party has that is all just as bad and just as blaring as the fact that Republicans are money-grubbing, you know, hypocritical crooks. And that is this attachment to every gay issue. And
No. Wait. Okay.
Abortion.
Gay issues, abortion stuff, Rick. Let me tell you where I'm coming from on this. I consider it. I think we lose as long as we call it a women's rights issue or a gay rights issue or a racial rights issue. The day that we understand that these are all human rights issues,
right,
we can win.
That's right. But you gotta frame the argument that way. I mean, there's no, because I absolutely believe in equal protection for everybody. And
well, you know, that was one of the things I liked about Paul Hackett. Like I mentioned last night, when he came out and he stared at the beast in Ohio, and he said that, you know, they said, well, 65% of Christians in Ohio believe that we must protect marriage from the queers. And he said, look, if 65% of Ohioans believe that we need to create a constitutional second class of citizens, then, yeah, that's un-American.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's absolutely true. I mean, and why people don't understand it, well, they do understand it, but they have this bigotry and they're just refocusing it somewhere else. Because the type of those 65% will never stop at the homosexual community. I mean, their thirst, their hunger is to move all the way up the ladder to get back so they can have them Saturday night lynchings.
There's an element in this country, and it's the people that hate gay marriage. I mean, you got to remember when you're talking about gay marriage bills out there, you know who comes out against gay marriage? The Republican Party and the Klan.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, the whole concept of a gay marriage is kind of nuts. All right, because
but
I
it's not for me. If you're not gay, it's not. It's and I'm not gay, and you're not gay, and it's not for us to judge.
But I'm just saying, it's kind of like, you know, there's a yin and there's a yang, and that doesn't kind of like add up. But if they want to do it, I don't care. I mean, I don't have a problem.
Right. You know,
you should be as miserable as I have been. You should be. You should have that right.
I know how that goes. I tell you what, Rick, we got to bail out on this one now.
Okay, one last thing real quick.
Okay, go fast.
Maybe it's time to take the most drastic measure of all between now and 2008, and that is to literally start relocating our people to where the gerrymandering is in our favor.
That's a thought. And you know what? To build a network that could do that would be a little miracle.
It would be a miracle, but it's been done before.
It's worth a thought.
Check out the black community in the late 50s and 60s.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, we're out of here, Rick.
Nice talk with you, Bob.
Good talking to you, as ever. Take care.
All right, see ya.
Bye now. I tell you what, Agnes, let's take a real quick one and come right back with the top of the hour so people don't have to wait on hold forever. All right, we'll hurry right back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
so. Now I'm gonna pack my things and go. Tainted love.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. Like I said, real quick break and we'll just blow right on into things. Let's go to the phone. Yeah, hey, Wayne, you're Head On. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you great.
Okay, buddy. Listen, this Hackett thing, I don't understand. According to The Nation,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty reliable...
Yeah, not exactly a bastion of concern.
Yeah, I don't know. They've only been around for 100-something years here.
Yeah.
Hackett has been confronted with his own new poll numbers. I mean, from his own pollsters.
Yeah.
Which are showing Brown with a 46% to 24% lead over Hackett.
Okay.
Now, you know, I think that had something to do with...
Okay, so why the you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore speech?
Well, I don't understand that. Which brings to question a lot of things. I mean, number one, you know, politics is nasty business. You have to have the tenacity to face all this. Now, I'm not saying the man's without tenacity. Often, you know,
yeah.
Obviously he had some or he wouldn't be a war hero.
Yeah.
You know, but for politics, he's not doing so good. And to be, what if he got the nomination? You know, and then the Republican onslaught comes, which, you know.
Yeah, the real sleaze.
Right. The real mean guys. And you know how mean they could get, and they're going to get. What would he have done there? Now, you know, picked up his ball and went home? I mean, it's, you know. And then the whole theory, the United States Senate is probably the most corrupt conservative organization that you can ever confront these days.
The ladies' sewing circle.
Exactly. And to think that these guys would throw out Brown's opponent, you know, Brown, one of the most progressive people in Congress.
And again, I gotta repeat that, Wayne. I really, really hate this false dichotomy that's being created that Sherrod Brown is some sort of creature of the DLC, you know, Al Fromm wannabe, best friend to Hillary, goes to lunch with Joe Lieberman types. He's not. He has been a lone voice crying in the wilderness on many occasions. He's somebody that can be rallied around.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, while Hackett was campaigning for this primary Brown was fighting against CAFTA.
Yeah.
You know, and leading the fight against it.
And let's see, CAFTA, that was that whole thingy that none of the liberals and none of the progressives wanted and were begging for people who would stand up against it, right?
And that's, what is it, Central America Free Trade? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Another one of those wonderful things that...
American
what's
jobs.
What's his name, that little Texan guy?
Yeah, DeLay.
No.
Oh, different
little Texan. The guy that says, you'll hear the great sucking sound.
Oh, Jim Hightower.
No.
No? Okay.
The little bitty crazy guy.
Perot.
Hello, yeah.
See, that's the all you had to do was say crazy.
Right, exactly. Billionaire crazy, you know, that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right.
The guy that was going to fly to the White House on the saucer.
Yeah, well, they came to his daughter's wedding or something.
You're right.
I forget that, you know. There was a bunch of things like that. But, you know, and I hate that Brown's getting this thing, too, because we need this guy. I mean, this guy is...
Be a hell of a lot better than Mike DeWine in the Senate.
Yes, he is, and he can beat Mike DeWine. And he has the tenacity, you know, or he wouldn't be fighting the fight that he's fighting and constantly fights. We need this guy. People got to get behind him. And I'm not writing off Hackett, but he's writing himself off.
Precisely. You know, we talk about, you know, boy, we liberals, we sure need some people that'll stand up and understand what a bully is all about. And if you punch the bully back in the nose, well, the bully came in, I mean, if you believe his Richard Nixon speech, the bully came and punched him in the nose and he ran.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, our friend Joni in Massachusetts emailed to me apparently some of the same data that you've got, that, A, I was wrong. He had not, the man hadn't registered to run.
Hackett hasn't?
Apparently not.
Well, that's the first step in tenacity.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the front end of you pays your money, you takes your chances.
Oh, God. Well, I don't. Okay, I got to find out if that's. I'm not doubting the lady in Massachusetts, but my God, that'd be ironic, would it not?
Well, I mean, she says here, Bob, I don't believe that Hackett ever actually registered for the primary, and I don't think there's any evidence that he did.
Well, we could find out. Ohio's pretty close to us, you know.
Well, in fact,
I think we got a little bit of border there.
Well, you know, yeah, it's it's that dribble that the Republican here in West Virginia wanted to build Pittsburgh for.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, the different story.
Well, that's the water that runs north.
That
river that runs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
inside joke.
Huh?
Inside joke.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. The whole world. I forget we're talking to the whole world these days. You know, it used to be just Radio Free Beckley. Now it's Radio Free the whole world.
Yeah, we're trying.
Which, hey, that's great. That's great. But I just a little word to CB. I'm glad you're mad. I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I'm 61. I don't have time for a third party. Like I told you before, we got to fix the one we got here. And, you know, we got a couple of good things going for us. We got pretty good name recognition. And, you know, a lot of people like us. And we just got to weed out the people that aren't Democrats and start over again.
Well, and
the Democratic Party the party of the working people again. And we can do that because we still have people that believe that. And, you know, be mad, CB, and identify, tell the people that aren't Democrats, how can you call yourself a Democrat and stand for this? You know, go to the meet the candidate meetings, go to their office, write write to the editorial paper or pages and call these, well, what they are is, you know, Republicans that call themselves Democrats.
Yeah.
Dinos. Call them for what they are. And we could rebuild this party. And, you know, as like Jim Hightower says, in one of my favorite sayings, America does not need a third political party, but they're in dire need of a second one. And we can be that. So, and, you know, and I think she could help. I think she's willing to help. Just don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I know she's mad. But.
It's a great motivator.
Yeah, it is.
And we got something. We got plenty to be mad about.
Right, and you know,
Joe Lieberman alone should be enough to motivate the entire Democratic Party to make sure Joe Lieberman never happens in the Democratic Party again.
That's exactly right. And you know, and you could bring that down to your local politics too. I mean, you know, we got a local guy here that runs every year as a Democrat and keeps getting elected. And he advocates right to work. Wrong.
Yeah. And votes a Republican line.
And right, exactly. And, you know, and like I say, that brings a lot of questions to, you know, if Hackett, you know, was elected, you know, would he get mad if we didn't go his way and he'd vote with the Republicans?
Well, Joni has just informed me that the filing deadline is like in a week's time.
Well, he still has time to file.
Yeah, I mean, do it. I mean, he's raised $250,000. I don't think the filing fee is $250,000.
Is that ignorant woman that called our war hero a...
Coward?
A coward. Is she up for re-election?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, her local Republican Party has thus far not endorsed her.
Oh, is that right? Well,
and she has Republican opponents.
Okay, well, you know, Paul, you still got a little bit of money. You're
oh, no, because, no, wait. He said that he had struck gentlemen's deals with people who wanted to run against Mean Gene, and he wasn't going to get into that race because that would be dishonorable.
Oh.
So I just keep. I'm sorry. Something stinks.
Well, see you later, Paul.
Yeah, something stinks, doesn't it?
Well, something does stink, you know. And I mean, you know. So if you want to take, you know, pick up your ball and go home, but stop bad mouthing us.
Yeah.
You know, and the party, because the story just doesn't pan out, man. I'm sorry. You know,
no, there's something here that doesn't work. Well, it's like Joe Vecchio wrote, Wayne, and he said, based on what you're saying, that's the best I can come up with. They must have something on him. I remember when Ross Perot stepped down, I realized then that he had no intention of winning, and when he saw that he had a real chance of winning, he took himself out. That's not what's going on here. He said, I wish I knew more. You know, the fact that, you know, you said something last night, and I will not demean anybody's military record, but he's trading on it pretty hard.
Yeah, he is.
And the fact, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not being mean. I'm not, like I said, but the guy was not, I mean, he wasn't a major over a rifle company.
No.
Do you know? You know what he did?
No.
He was a public affairs officer.
Oh, now that's frightening.
He was a PR, dude. He wrote press releases
the
about
what... The PR that came out of all that war was nothing but a pack of lies. And is still coming out of it.
Well, you know, far be it for me to criticize. But, you know, damn, get in, fight the fight.
Well, and I remember what I said. I mean, you know, I'm a veteran. I was a grunt. When you tell me, the guy's running for a race and he's, an Iraqi war veteran, I think of grunts.
Yeah.
Not majors. And certainly not PR men.
I know.
You know, so, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm sure we'll hear the rest of the story. What? I just don't want to hear it from Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Or his son.
Yuck.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, Wayne, you have yourself a great evening.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye now. And... I don't know how to give this the voice that it needs here, but if you believe the Nation magazine, there was something rotten in Denmark. CB writes in and says that Hackett ceded the field because Daily Coast said the two guys were going to make the Repug win, and they ought to agree which one would run and the other step down. See, the way, I mean, if I had my druthers in this whole process, the way it would work would be that, yeah, you decide, look, Hackett could go and stump for Sherrod Brown and say six years from now, if he's not proving himself to be the progressive and the liberal that we want, then give me the meat axe, and I'll come back and I'll run against him in the primary, and we'll throw him out, and we'll try me. There's 1,000 different ways to angle this, but the one thing is not the one thing that doesn't work here is to deliver your "you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore" speech. Or am I just crazy? I mean, politics. God willing, Major Hackett has a long life ahead of him. And to say out of this that he's never going to touch politics again? There's an old saying, I don't know, maybe it's where you're from too. And trust me, I'm not going to say fool me once, won't get fooled again. But around up the hollers and hills around here, we say root hog or die. tough hide lasts the longest. And I just think, I think Major Hackett was showing a lack of hide. I mean, he was just dealing with Sherrod Brown. He hadn't dealt with the dealt. Jeez, he hadn't dealt with the really ugly people. He hadn't gotten anywhere near a Republican yet. Those are the real filth merchants. So, I think, well, the bottom line is it could have been handled about 6 million times. 6 million times better. But again, that's me. Moving on to a couple of other issues. And by the way, the lines are open. 877-443-2366. There's a couple of other things in the stack today that we haven't touched on yet. It's been out there for a while. Headline, keys to half dozen U.S. ports now in hands of an Arab company from the United Arab Emirates. And, you know, this isn't the free market at work. You know, we're worried about our borders and we're worried about our security and container ships. And the Bush administration recently approved a deal for DP World, a global port operator based in the United Arab Emirates, to purchase Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, a British firm that operates the ports of New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Miami, Baltimore, and New Orleans. $6.8 billion bid was made by the committee. The decision about the bid was made by the Committee on Foreign Investment of the United States, which includes representatives from various federal agencies. You know, this has even got the wing nuts mad. The story I'm looking at here comes from our good friends at Agape Press. No, Agape, I know. And, you know, they got a story here quoting, you know, that weird little freak Gary Bowers. United Arab Emirates. Jeez. And from The World Can't Wait. I got a press release today that I wanted to make sure and share with you. We told you and shared with you, and we had callers from the Greensboro 7, Greensboro, North Carolina, World Can't Wait debacle. And there was other nastiness as well. In Cleveland, a woman arrested and accused of assaulting police officers after hanging World Can't Wait posters was arraigned in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court today. 53-year-old woman Carol Fisher. She was putting World Can't Wait posters up when she was physically attacked by the police, beaten, had her face pushed into the pavement, had boots in her back, and was later accused of being insane and evaluated by a psychiatrist. And today her lawyer was verbally harangued by some freak prosecutor in Cuyahoga County. Prior to the judge's entrance into the courtroom, Lawyer Gilbert, defense counsel Gilbert, had an altercation with Assistant Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Deborah Naaman in an obvious attempt to show power and a signal that the case is a priority. Naaman badgered Gilbert across the courtroom. "What city was this?" Naaman, out of her seat, walking toward Gilbert, shouted. "You know, and everyone knows it's against the law to hang posters there. It's Cleveland Heights, not exactly known as a hotbed of Bush support. And that's not what you do to police. You don't attack police when they're trying to arrest you." There was a goon squad, 2-3 cops. And, of course, as I believe Rick mentioned in the last hour, one of the most horrific versions of the Patriot Act, the most horrific version of the Patriot Act, has been passed in Ohio. And you can be picked up on the street for just, anything or nothing. Cross look, no look at all. But this woman will maintain her innocence. She entered a not guilty plea. She has made it clear that she's not afraid to go to jail. and that her she's made it, and that she thinks her case is part of a bigger problem, creeping fascism across the United States. I'm not a wildcat, she said, and I'm not crazy. Those were both statements put out by the Cleveland Heights police. God. Dear God. Still no response to World Can't Wait's February 6th public information request. We'll try to keep up with this story. If you want to look up worldcan'twait.org on the web and pass along some support, moral support, let them know you're behind them. Help out any way you can. I don't know how they're paying for her defense. I don't know who's defending her. Maybe it's the ACLU. An email from Roz. Roz says, please, please, please stop talking about the Hackett situation. I'm convinced this is a rove dirty trick. Everything was done over the phone, calls to supporters, etc. This has Rove's fingerprints all over it. Carl must be laughing his ass off that the Democrats are still talking about this. This is classic Rove, friends. She says, I lived in West Virginia for 10 years in Webster County. Good to hear liberal voices still talking from almost heaven. I'm on the left coast now. Well, just Roz, just remind them that there is a West Virginia out there, would you? We'd appreciate it. And I know what you're talking about. Whether it's Hackett or whether it's, Cheney's got a gun, there is always the possibility that we're being manipulated. I haven't given the attention that it deserves, but am about to. Headline, Cheney says domestic spying key to terror fight. And he said, spirit of debate is now underway, and our message to the American people is clear and straightforward. Those actions are within the president's authority and responsibility under the Constitution and laws, and these actions are vital to our security. Meanwhile, he also said today in response to this allegation that Irving or Isaac or whatever, Scooter Libby's defense is going to be that he was directed to out a CIA agent, an undercover CIA agent, that he was directed to out one of them. By, you know, Valerie Plame, by his higher-ups, and there's only two, George Bush, Dick Cheney, just two. So that's his defense. So, Team Cheney comes out after having had, 72, 96 hours in the bunker, hiding from the media over the shooting case. Well, that provided a convenient opportunity to do a little more strategery, and come up with this new and novel extension of the unitary executive, a proponent of whom, of which now sits on the Supreme Court of the United States. The unitary executive, basically the wholesale adoption of Richard Nixon's 1977 statement to David Frost that if the president does it, it cannot be illegal. Dick Cheney has actually declared that he has the right, under some vague executive order, he has the right to declassify any information he sees fit without warning anyone. In other words, as Vice President of the United States, he has the right to out CIA officers if their husbands happen to offend him. He has the right to give out information and smear people in such a way that entire undercover networks overseas may be compromised and people may die. You know, part of the reason if you believe the Bush administration line about how we wound up in Iraq, you know, we had bad, faulty intelligence. It was a faulty intelligence. It was groupthink. I tell you, we had some groupthink going on. And groupthink was thinking grouply faulty intelligence. If you believe that load of pucky, then you must also understand that part of the reason we had faulty intelligence there was we had next to, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Nothing? Nothing in the way of human intelligence on the ground? Oh, we had our beeping little spy satellite, beep, 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 in space over there. We got pictures. See over there behind that palm tree, that square-looking thing? That is a... My friends, I am giving you hard evidence here in the United Nations today. That is a mobile weapons laboratory. Those are not just palm trees! That is the death of the United States! That they're going to get your children with that! You know, Colin Powell at the United Nations just lying his ass off. We had that, you know. We get the pictures. We had Ahmed Chalabi, $360,000 a month to Ahmed Chalabi and his nephew Curveball, the dude that lived under the bridge over the Euphrates, drinking the screw top wild Iraqi rose wine, whatever. Annie Greensprings, Plum Holler, I don't know. But he was, we didn't even have him. The Germans had him. That was Germany's human intelligence in Iraq. The Germans, for God's sakes. He was their guy. And they're getting phone calls. Hello. German intelligence. There are mobile weapons labs riding on the back of pink elephants not 30 feet from me. To the point that the Germans pick up the phone because they've been sharing the curveball information with the United States, and they pick up, hello, this is the German intelligence agency calling. Could we please speak to an operative in the CIA, if you wouldn't mind, please? Oh, I see. Valerie Plame, that is who we have been speaking with on the weapons of mass destruction issue with Iraq. Could we speak to Mrs. Plame, please? Wie bitte? Ja? Ah, schrecklich. I see. Frau Plame is no longer on the case. Oh, you're kidding. Oh. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that this woman, her cover has been blown? Oh, for God's sakes. God. Please. Bitte. I need to leave a message for somebody. Just write down what I tell you, all right? Curveball is gone. Curveball is, out of the ballpark. Curveball Elvis has left the building. Curveball cannot be trusted. That business with the pink elephants and the mobile weapon slaps, we do not believe that no more. Okay? Wunderbar. Zigao. No, we mean goodbye. I mean, that's what... We had no human intelligence. We were relying on the Germans. Meanwhile, Valerie Plame... We know now Valerie Plame was working on... nuclear development in Iran and Iraq. Long about the time that Dick Cheney got just a little bit chapped. I can't believe that woman would do that to us. That woman, how dare he expose our yeller cake lies. And about that time, he decided he was a Unitary vice president. No, not Unitarian. If he was a Unitarian, we wouldn't be in this problem. He'd be in his bunker somewhere wondering, whether it was all, an illusion or not. No, he decided he was a Unitary vice president, and therefore, he has the power to spontaneously declassify our spies. Hmm. I'm not kidding. He said that today. Dear God. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Well, there's many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. And a small town don't like it when somebody falls between the sexes. No, a small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. And I believe to my soul that inside every man there's the feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Well, the cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women, but the ones that brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Even with Tia Carrera. The original suite from Desolation Boulevard was a little better. Sorry, old disc jock. Can't help it. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the downhill run toward the end of tonight's program. About 20 minutes left in the program. If you've got a bee under your bonnet or a burr under your saddle, well, for God's sakes, you know what to do with it. Don't let it stay in. Don't let it stay in there and fester or whatever.
Just play Willie Nelson and you. Sorry.
Yeah, and then there was the Willie Nelson song in front of that. I had to play that. That was released yesterday. If you want to go and buy it, it was released yesterday on iTunes, you know, for Valentine's Day. Willie Nelson's spokesperson said that song had been in the closet for about 20 years and it was time for it to come out. Now, in case you're looking, by the way, in case you're, you know, one of these people that's interested in the culture and where the next firestorm is going to come from, I got a prediction for you. From the Jerusalem Post yesterday. A Turkish movie featuring, I know, this is going to be a tough one to get your head around. It's going to make your brain feel like the Turkish taffy. A Turkish movie featuring American actor Gary Busey as a Jewish U.S. Army doctor who cuts out the organs of Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib and sells them to wealthy foreign clients is breaking all box office records in Turkey. Valley of the Wolves, Iraq, otherwise known as Kurtlar Vadisi, Iraq, in Turkish, is set for release in a dozen Arab and European countries, and the producer is at the current Berlin International Film Festival to find distributors for the United States and additional markets. Save your breath, buddy. There ain't none. Yeah, this is going to show at the local Hell Octoplex. Valley of the Wolves, Iraq. Gary Busey? The film's arch-villain is a rogue American officer played by Billy Zane, played the bad guy on Titanic, played the Phantom, who is a self-professed peacekeeper sent by God. He and his men shoot up an Iraqi wedding party, killing the groom in the presence of the bride and a little boy in front of his mother. And very few people in the United States have heard of the movie yet, and as a consequence, Jewish organizations have not commented so far, but here's the fun part. The New York Sun, you know, the god-awful fish wrap, well, that's an insult to the fish. Maybe you'd use it at the New York Sun at the bottom of your bird cage. Nah, you wouldn't want to do that to the bird either. Anyway, it characterized the storyline as Rambo as written by Jane Fonda and Michael Moore. The Busey character, listed only as the Gary Busey? He has lost his mind, hasn't he? Listed only as the doctor, is far removed from the Jewish stereotype in both appearance and manner, but hardly a credit to his heritage. At one point, he scolds American soldiers for shooting up the wedding guests, quote, because it ruins their organs. In another scene, a group of apparent organ buyers includes a man clearly dressed as an Orthodox Jew. The two producers emphasized that they were against all forms of extremism, regardless of religion, and that most of the film's script was based on fact. I haven't heard a blessed word about this until I found this little blurb from the Jerusalem Post. The title of the piece is "The Nefarious Parts We Play." Parts, get it? So, you know, it was bad. It was bad enough that you had a conservative newspaper in Jutland, in Denmark, sticking its collective finger in the eye of Muslim immigrants to that country, and frankly, all of Western Europe. Yeah, I mean, you do know that the Jutland's Morgan Post Toasty is a notoriously conservative, anti everybody but, you know, the white people who were on their speed dial, that kind of a newspaper, right? And the whole cartoon thing was entirely made up. I talked a little bit about that, I think, last week. So this is what's coming next. Another Turkish official said, this is our revenge for Midnight Express. That's really what part of the text that grabbed me, because someone mentioned that movie the other night, Midnight Express. So now we're going to have depictions of organ-stealing Jewish doctors. I got an idea, and maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. Get on board with me if you want to with this one. What do you say? we stop with the racial stereotyping all the way around. What do you say we stop? We've done a pretty good job so far in this country of stopping with the depictions of hook-nosed Jews, and except for the right wing, we're not really good at depicting Muslim rug merchants cheating people, and we've pretty much given up the depictions of watermelon-eating black people. What do you say? What do you say we encourage the world to quit it altogether? Oh wait, we're busy bombing brown people in Iraq because they're brown people in Iraq. So no, I guess we can't give that up, can we? I hate stories like that. The film was made well before the current furor in the Muslim world over Danish cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. That's another thing. I refuse to refer to him as the Prophet Muhammad any longer. He's Muhammad. I'm not being disrespectful to anybody. That's his name, right? If he's your prophet, groovy. He's your prophet, cool. Revere him until the end of the world. Fine. He's not my prophet. I don't go in for prophets, imams, priests, clerics, monsignors, vicars, brothers so-and-so. I don't go in for it, okay? What I get of my spirituality is exclusively mine, and it is not subject to the analysis or criticism of anyone at all, period. End of sentence. And I'm not telling you how to live your life or what to believe or not believe, but you know what? We'd all be a lot better off if we would take that approach. You remember last week when we talked about the American Family Association that was sending around the salacious video clip of the strippers in that club, in that Satan-born, hell-bent TV series on that NBC network at Las Vegas? Remember that? Remember talking about that? I got another email from Donald Wildman. He's a Wildman. Apparently, somebody got to him because he sent out another email about it saying, well, we have to send the video clip so people can see it, thereby confessing that this is all just AstroTurf. It's all just hooey. It's just crap. It's a fraud. It's a con because we have 3 million members in the United States. None of them saw Las Vegas because they weren't watching. It's a terrible program. So he sends out this email that says, I had to send you the clip to that video so you could see it and complain to the FCC. What a moron. Moran. Whatever. What a doofus. From the Breakfast Club. What a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. This guy worries about depictions of strippers perverting American families, and then he has to send the very preverting videos around to his membership and prevert them so that they can give him a little bit of more power through the FCC with all these ginned up, dummied up complaints. And he said, "You see, where is the email? I've been looking for it." He says, I was in between a rock and a hard place because if I don't send you the video, then people say, well, Brother Wildman, what is it you're objecting to? Because apparently the faithful at the American Family Association can't follow a URL link. Apparently, they're so illiterate they can't read the two words, click here. And then if I do give them the link like I did, I have to listen to people complaining at me that I am preverting their children. Oh, you generation of vipers. Oh, my God. So we've got organ hacking Jews. We've got Muhammad in a bomb-shaped turban. We've got preverting Fundy. Well, fundamentalist clerics in this country. And then, we got so busy last night, I didn't get to hardly any of the prayer meeting stuff. I mentioned this earlier, talking to our new friend John from San Francisco. This is from February the 11th from the L.A. Times. Story entitled, Their Own Version of a Big Bang. Dateline Wayne, New Jersey. Oh, dear God. Evangelist Ken Ham smiled at the 2,300 elementary students packed into pews, their faces wrapped. With dinosaur puppets and silly cartoons, he was training them to reject geology, paleontology, and biology as a sinister tangle of lies. "Boys and girls," Ham said, "if a teacher so much as mentions evolution or the Big Bang or an era when dinosaurs ruled the earth, you put your hand up and you say, 'Excuse me, were you there?'" Can you remember that? The children roared their assent. "Sometimes people will answer, 'No, but you weren't there either,'" Ham told them. "Then you say, 'No, I wasn't, but I know someone who was, and I have his book about the history of the world.'" And he waved the Bible in the air. No kidding. I mean, "Who's the only one who's been there?" Ham asked. "God," the boys and girls shouted. "Who's the only one who knows everything? God!" A former high school biology teacher, Ham travels the nation training children as young as 5 to reject science. He just wants to ruin their little minds while they're tiny. Don't start when they're in 10th grade biology. Make sure that they reject knowledge out of hand when they're little, while they're still doing the Tooth Fairy Santa Claus thing. Anybody care to guess why it is all the jobs are going? And, you know, it's not all evil corporatists. A bunch of it is evil corporatists, but it is not all evil corporatists by any stretch of the imagination. There are other reasons contributing to the fact that the high-tech sector, you know, the science-based sector, prefers to have people in Pakistan and India and parts otherwise do their work. Because they know that they're climbing an uphill battle in the United States against people who reject the very science that helps build their stuff. You know, because in Brother Ham's world, computer chips just happen. They grow like little four-leaf clovers. Because only God has the knowledge. What is a 5-year-old who has been taught to hate science and math and English? What is that child going to have in the way of a future? What? I'm not kidding. What have they got? Kid's going to enter 10th grade biology, and they're going to start trying to explain the theory of life. And this guy has already told them that it's all right to stand up and be abjectly disrespectful to an intelligent, educated human being and scream at them that since they weren't there, they can't know it. That only God can know it. You know, this is the kind of crap that leads to Holocaust? Sure. This is the kind of junk that leads to pogroms. This is the kind of stuff that gets scientists burned at the stake as witches. A couple of books, if you're of the science fiction type and you haven't read them before, I'd like to suggest, there's a link at Ben Birch's WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you go through there and buy the book from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever through those links, it helps Ben out a little bit. A couple of books. The Handmaid's Tale. Margaret Atwood, I believe. And another one whose author I cannot remember, but it's called Where Late the Sweet Birds Sang. Have a look. Darn good reads. You'll probably enjoy them. A quick email from our pal CB in California. She says, "I want courage, raw courage out of my representation. I'll make Democrats do it." And that's the whole point. we got nobody else. And see, the thing is, I mean, as an added incentive, the Democratic Party cannot be allowed to be drugged to the right because the Republican Party is the home of people like Brother Ham there. Can you imagine? This guy wants science driven out of schools. This guy envisions envisions a world in which we don't teach science anymore. We just teach Bible. And you know what? He's not supported by the Democratic Party, or he should not be. His is the purview of the Republican Party. And here's the added bonus. If you'll get out there and you will help to rebuild our party, if you'll put in that kind of skull sweat, if you'll put in that kind of heart and conviction, you get in return to say that you helped save America. You get to stop Brother Ham in his tracks before he can ruin any more little minds. And you also get to sit and giggle a little bit while the Republican Party collapses, because it will collapse. It's a house that's built on shifting sands. The Republican Party, in accordance with what Dwight Eisenhower said, any party that advocates the end of Social Security will cease to become a national party within a matter of years. That's where the Republican Party is now. They are, whether you realize it or not, and they certainly won't tell you because they're smart enough to know that a magician never gives the secrets of his tricks away. The Republican Party is on the verge of collapse. A couple of nice little wedges, and it will collapse. Because it's an unholy alliance between corporatists and religious freaks and outright hucksters and just mean, hateful, bloodthirsty people. You work and you build that reinvigorated Democratic Party, you know, that has its roots with people like Franklin Roosevelt and John Kennedy. You rebuild that party, a party that cares when children cry in the night for want of food or heat or love. You rebuild that party, and you will be rewarded in a short period of time by being able to watch a reborn America and a Republican Party that simply collapses in on itself like some sort of dark star. And it will take all the religious weirdos with it, and it'll take all the corporatists with it, and you get a chance to rebuild the America that we all know can exist and can be very, very, and can save the world. I know that's a hell of a lot to unload on liberals and progressives, but the world waits. And they're waiting on you, and they're waiting on me. They're waiting for the people who will stand up in the streets. They're waiting for the people who will speak truth to power. They're waiting for America to at least try to be what America has the potential to be. And if we do believe what we set forward, the idea that there is a commonality and a community of humankind, then we owe that. We owe that to them. And the best way that it happens in the United States is by building a reinvigorated, refocused, purified, cleansed, deloused, if you will, Democratic Party. If in the process we have to throw a few people out and let them go be Republicans until the party collapses, fine. Do it. Wish them well and tell them good riddance to bad rubbish. You know, we need, what, 6 senators to retake the Senate next year? If it means we've got to have 7 by begging Joe Lieberman to just go once and for all and be a damned Republican? So be it. That means seven. And he's one of the ones that we will defeat. Does this make any sense? I hope it does. I ended last night by screaming my fool head off, and I felt bad about it. Because it seems like there's nothing, nothing but bad news. And there's a whole lot of bad news out there, and it's out there because the bad news is being created by the bad people. Bush, Cheney, I'm not going to do the laundry list. But understand, the bad news is being generated and created by the bad people. And first we have to identify the bad people, and then we have to get the bad people out of government. If that means you go to a demonstration, go to the demonstration. If that means you write letters, you write letters. If that means that some progressive candidate, if there's a progressive candidate in Minnesota who needs your help and you live in Alabama or Mississippi, donate some long distance time and phone bank for him. Remember that soundbite from a few nights ago where the lady in Alabama who lost her husband in the coal mine blast said a couple of days later we heard from Paul Wellstone and he was going to take up my husband's banner? She's got two senators in Alabama. They're both worthless as teats on a boar hog. But a Minnesotan reached out to a grieving woman in Alabama and showed what Democrats mean. Do that in reverse. I'm not going to be all Mary Poppins and Pollyanna about this, but good can win out over evil. But first, there has to be more good than evil. Build good, make good, do good. And that is the end of tonight's sermonette. The show, of course, was produced tonight by...